Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the prophet Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This text made me think about my interview here with the Ad Council almost 9 years ago when I got appointed to this church. The meeting lasted 3 hours, which is interesting because I'm appointed. It really wasn't an interview. It was like at the end, it was still like you were stuck with me. So, but they asked me a lot of really good questions. They asked me what I would do with this wonderful old building and what I would do to help the state that it was in and the congregation. They asked me about my background in business and how it would serve my ministry. They asked me about my career as a psychotherapist. They gave me a pretty good going over. They really did. But interestingly enough, they asked me very little about my theology, which is not unusual. I mean, what would you ask? Do you believe in God? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Those are the questions that they asked in seminary, but no one really asked those questions. When I read this passage, I wondered how things would have gone if I had stood up in the interview and proclaimed, "Now the word of the Lord came to me. Before I was formed in the womb, I knew you. I have been appointed to be a prophet to all the nations." I'm pretty sure that if I had announced that I had been sent by God and that God had put the words in my mouth, the interview may have been over. Exactly how would that have gone? I mean, they were asking me really good questions about how we were going to be in ministry together. Now, Jeremiah would not have gotten very far today. I'm pretty sure that if he was with any staff parish relations committee and said those things, he would have been shown the door. It would have been, "We really don't need to hear that now. The plucking up and the pulling down and the destroying and the overthrowing, that is not exactly what churches are looking for in a pastor." And yet, they might not have also heard him as he was going out the door saying something about building up and planting. I served on the Board of Ordained Ministry for quite a few years, where we interview candidates to see if they are fit for ministry. That's the term that's used, fit for ministry. And I can tell you that even those appointed to look deep into someone's life would not have reacted well to Jeremiah's reasoning for why he should become a messenger of God. Part of the dilemma in our day and age is that we don't quite know what a message from God looks like or sounds like, do we? And if we do think we're hearing something from God, it has the potential to stop us in our tracks and we run the other way. Because, frankly, any call from God is scary. It just is. If you actually stop for 1 second and think that God is involved in what you're hearing in your head, it is scary. And Jeremiah thought so. He said, "Oh, Lord God, I truly don't know how to speak, for I am only a boy." Well, I'm with Jeremiah. I think Jeremiah's got it right. I don't know how to speak. I've told you before that I think sometimes this is the craziest job in the world. Have any of you ever been asked to do something for God and felt like you needed to do it and stopped yourself and said, I cannot really, really do this? And if you tell someone that God spoke to you, there's about 2% who would nod approvingly, and the other 98% would run away, cancel their dinner plans with you, and probably not see you as their friend too much. Call is a tricky word. We don't hardly use it at all anymore. When you say call from God, people think, oh, I heard a voice, I heard a sound, I got a letter. And none of that is ever really true. I've heard tons of call stories over the years, and they're all different. And they're as unique as the people who are telling the stories of their journey. But they have some things in common. One of the things that people describe is that when they feel that they're being drawn to something important, that there's a burning desire to do it. And the other thing they say is it stays there again and again, and no matter what they do, it simply will not go away. I think it's like Harry Potter's invitation to attend Hogwarts. You all have seen Harry Potter, right? Well, some of you have. See, this owl keeps showing up with these envelopes, and Harry's foster parents, or his aunt and uncle, they try as best as they can to destroy this invitation. But then finally, in the end, Hagrid shows up and personally accompanies Harry to his destiny. It's a lot like that for Jeremiah, as it is for many of us. The mystery of it all is that it really does feel like you've been chosen for something. Those of you who have vocational lives, who knew for a long time you would be a teacher or a doctor, that you knew that you were going to serve the poor, or you were going to be a lawyer, or you were going to be a mother, or you were going to... That's something that pulls you, that's there. Now, I think that I used to read a lot of mystery novels because I like mystery. I never could figure them out. But I think this whole trying to figure out God's calling is kind of like having a spiritual detective around, like a Miss Marple. Do any of you still know who Miss Marple is? Yay, Agatha Christie books. I thought for the younger people I ought to say it's kind of like having CSI, Miami, Las Vegas, New York, Tallahassee, Saskatchewan. I mean, I don't know. There's so many CSIs. But it's kind of like that, this whole detective story in your life, trying to figure out what you should do. Now, Jeremiah seemed to finally resign himself to serving God, but he did before that attempt to wiggle out of it. He tried everything he could to wiggle out of it. I am just a boy. How about I am just a layperson? I don't have very much to give. I'm not good with kids. I'm too new here at the church. I'd have to leave my other job. What about health insurance? Number one thing. It could upset my whole family. It's not fair to them. And you know what? The reasons for not doing something that relates to God's work are often very reasonable and justifiable. Absolutely. Don't think for one minute that if you feel nudged and pulled to do something, that it is not going to have a cost. It will. So these questions and all these concerns, they're good. Because we have a ton of wiggle room when it comes to answering God's call. Because it's always an invitation. It is never an order. But the wiggle room will never hold up when our reasoning is, I'm not qualified. Because no one in the Bible was ever qualified. I'm not qualified. But here I am. And somehow this feels right for me. And I know some of you are in jobs that you just, it's so difficult. Every time I look at Brian Conroy and I think about all the kids in his high school and all the things he's dealt with, violence and drugs and suicides. But would you be anywhere else? Nope. You just can't. You've got tons of wiggle room, and you can always say to God, "Are you kidding?" Or however you want, you could say it, "Are thou out kidding?" But pretty much it still comes out, "You've got to be kidding." We don't get a letter outlining how we're going to make the changes. That's one of the hardest parts. The nudge, the pull, it never comes with instructions. I waited for a letter in my mailbox. All I got were seminary boards and Board of Ordained Ministry asking me over and over and over and over again, "You sure you really want to do this?" That's not very encouraging, but yet it's important. Jeremiah didn't get a message from God that he had been accepted into a trade school for prophets. He wasn't going to get any kind of training at all. It was simply a nice robe, maybe a glow that followed him around. I don't know, but not much else. And when it says, "Go and preach to the nations," well, in Israelite terms, that means your enemies, folks. That's not get dressed up. There's a whole bunch of nice people waiting for a sermon. That's go stand on a hillside and make sure you duck when the rocks start falling, because it's going to be hard. It's tricky. And call is always a paradox that baffles us, whether it is to pursue some type of ministry or a vocational life outside the church or ministry within the church that is lay. First of all, it's all about you. That's the first half of the paradox. It's all about you. And it's not about you at all. And that will mess with your head in ways that you can only imagine. Because it requires that you trust and let go. But it also requires that you take responsibility for this huge change. It'll upset your whole life, and yet the yardstick for whether you can handle it or not is measured by your ability to experience empathy with other people, to see the other side, the other's point of view. It means sacrifice when you don't really want to sacrifice. It's all about you, and it's never about you. Call is as complicated an issue in life that you will ever deal with if you take it seriously. What is clear is that we do not have to accept the invitation. In fact, there is so much wiggle room, you can find multiple ways of living out this burning desire that we carry within us. We may not all be like Isaiah, who hesitated for a second and then declared enthusiastically, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I think we're most of us are most like Jeremiah and Moses. "You've got the wrong person. Let me explain why." But through every struggle of the human condition, every attempt to find God's word for your own life, there is God's promise. And here's the promise. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That means God will shadow you, not death. That's God's promise to Jeremiah, and that's God's promise to each one of us. No matter how much wiggle room we need, no matter how many reasonable excuses we may offer, God is there watching out for us and even giving us the words to say. So no matter where you are on your journey towards God, our call is to serve the God who shadows us and speak a word of truth in a daily life. It does not matter what your call is. We are all to respect the dignity of every human being. And the hardest of us and the easiest, riskiest road that we can take, we have to seek the road that seeks justice and counters evil. This calling will never be easy if it is the calling of God. To say in our heart that we belong to God, that Christ has shown us how to belong to God, is what we're declaring. To wiggle around all the nudges and the lures and the calls of our life. We do so, though, recognizing that they are holy moments when we hear those calls. They are holy moments, and they're moments where God speaks to us, and the touches of grace that God provides is so apparent to us. It is never, this is too difficult. It is, this will be difficult. And oh my gosh, the glory to God and the healing I will experience is like nothing else. We are really supposed to plant and build up, each in our own unique way. Amen.